Hello, welcome to the Catholic Link podcast, the podcast for busy Catholics. I'm your host, Father George Elliott, and today I'm joined by Chris Bartlett. Chris, he sent me a fat hip hop beat poem for his intro, so I'm going to do my best to get through the fat hip hop beat, and it was fat with a PH. And so, as you all know, my personality, this is just totally me. So I'm going to try that, and if not, then we'll go to a normal bio. All right, I have to get my mind in this. A leader with vision, a heart full of grace, Chris Bartlett strides at a purposeful pace, president bold of Ablaze Ministries, igniting the youth, setting hearts at ease, a husband devoted, a father of six, with his... Oh, all right, I just messed it up already. We're just going to go to the normal one now. Chris Bartlett is the dynamic president of Ablaze Ministries, leading the charge to transform the church through its mission to youth. A devoted husband and father of six, Chris is as passionate about faith and family as he is about the transforming power of God. Whether inspiring the next generation with his visionary leadership, mentoring others in their spiritual journeys, or unleashing his unparalleled arsenal of dad jokes, Chris lives a life ablaze with purpose and joy. Fueled by a love of 90s rock and a heart for ministry, he balances the chaos of family life with a deep commitment to spreading the gospel, leaving a lasting impact on all who cross his path. Chris, welcome to the show. It's good to have you.
Thank you, Father. Glad to be here.
Excellent. So, Chris, I mean, you are just a juggernaut of evangelization, right? Leading Ablaze Ministries, which does amazing things in the kind of in the greater Austin area parish work. And I'm sure you guys are even spreading more and more. I'd love to hear your thoughts on just kind of evangelization in the modern world. Where are we at? And what do you think is the best direction to go in?
Yeah, I would say that the crisis of evangelization is at the crossroads of the crisis of meaning that people are finding or seeking. TikTok or, you know, social media or doom scrolling or binge watching or, you know, the rise in depression and some of the mental health issues are all a fruit of a loss of meaning. Mm-hmm. Evangelization is the tool by which that meaning is spoken into the world. And so I think that there is, society is, some people would say, in a higher peril. This is way too fire and brimstone for the start of a podcast.
No worries, let's go. We're going in sharp. Yeah.
But kind of as society goes into peril, you can actually correlate that, in my opinion, with a lack of evangelical vigor, right? Yeah. So when evangelization all of a sudden becomes the job solely of the Roman collar of the clergy and no longer a role of the laity or the people, the disciple, the baptized, then all of a sudden the ripples of the gospel don't reach quite as far.
Man. Yeah. That's fascinating. I think it's an interesting thing that, people like Jordan Peterson get such a big following, even, Trump, any of these kind of strong personalities that have a clear vision and understanding of the world or of, you know, whatever context they're in, they seem to be drawing such a strong following and response. And I had never thought about it connected specifically to actually the lack of meaning that is coming from a lack of evangelization.
Right.
That's good. And there's another historical thing that we did go deep all of a sudden in this podcast. This is great. This is the deepest one that we've done I've had thus far. Everybody talks about this kind of golden age in the church in America in the middle of the 20th century. Right. You can kind of think of Venerable Fulton Sheen, right? That he's kind of this, like, I mean, what was he was like Times Man of the Year, I think, or something of that sort. And there were so many priests and so many religious. And, you know, I think at that time, what happened is people just kind of said, like, well, there are so many priests and religious around. Really, the lay people just need to focus on basically paying for their lives. And then the priests and religious are the ones that go and do the evangelical things, right? They do the mission of the church.
Right.
So it seems like you're kind of connecting there that actually the decay that we're seeing right now is almost a fruit of this mentality that, no, it's the priests and the religious that do all of these things.
That is the mentality of the laity, and evangelization needs to be reclaimed. This goes all the way back to writings like Evangelium Nuntiandi, or some of the most recent ones by Pope Francis, A Church That Goes Forth, right? And we need to be a part of a movement, not a spectator of a movement, because that's God's fingerprints are what forged us, and so we need to reflect that to the world. Otherwise, we actually dampen or darken our own identity because we're not living out the purpose by which we were created for.
Yeah. So I suppose within Ablaze, what specifically is kind of the, are you guys doing to shift that mentality? Or, you know, I'm sure you've thought about this a ton. You're on the ground all the time. How do we fix this?
Yeah, great question. So Ablaze Ministries, for those who aren't familiar with it, our mission is to transform the church through mission to youth. We do a lot of youth outreach and mission to youth through trainings, through missionaries actually going into parishes, and then again, the outreach with communities. But I think to kind of understand like the initial approach of what it means to evangelize, I'll share a little bit of an anecdote. My daughter came home from school. This is a couple years ago, but she came home from school, and there was a student there that was proposing some ideas and arguably living a lifestyle that would be contrary to Christianity. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Dad, what am I supposed to do?" And I said, "Philomena, you're supposed to love them. That's the first step, is you're supposed to love them. It's not that you're supposed to go ahead and you know, throw your catechism at them and say, turn to paragraph, you know, 1312 or whatever. But just to love them first and foremost. And that should be our disposition. And I think that that's something at Ablaze that we've really found to be fruitful. We have a youth outreach center in Bryan, Texas, right down the street from a middle school where there's a lot of students that are on like school lunch and lower income and different things like that. And so we just started giving away tacos about 2 years ago. And the first week we gave about 40 tacos away, but we had a kid that said, "Can I take a taco? Or did you do anything to the taco? Are you going to take me in there and do bad things to me? Like what's, am I going to be hurt by this gift?
What's the catch?" Yeah.
Yeah. What's the catch? Right. And we're just like, no, we just want to give you a taco and get to know you. What's your name? You know, and things like that. And so that continued on into what is now the outreach center that I would argue that God has created there. But love simply, it's so easy to love, you know, it's not about, you're doing this or you're doing that, or you voted for this person or you missed mass on this day. It's just, God has a story in your heart and I want to hear it. Can we just eat a taco? You know, like it's something as simple as that. And that's what we're doing. And we're finding that young people, once they feel safe, then they rely on like, okay, now I'm open. And there's a lot of deep questions. I mean, these are seventh graders that we're journeying with at these outreach centers, you know, and they have a lot of deep questions and a lot of depth that society and even some of the statistics would say aren't there. The average age of disaffiliation from the Catholic faith is age 13. But I think it might be because they have questions that go unanswered. And so they look elsewhere.
Yeah.
Because we found just in talking over tacos that these faith questions come up organically that allows us to propose the faith because they're the ones asking us the questions instead of impose the faith and being like, "Well, you got a taco." Like I served at a soup kitchen. I'm like, "What's your least favorite part of the soup kitchen?" He goes, "I hate having to sing for my food." He goes, "I come here because I'm hungry, but they take us up to the chapel, make us sing three songs before we come down and get soup. I just want to eat." And and I think that is an example of evangelization that has a catch. Love shouldn't have a catch. There shouldn't be a gotcha love moment. That there should be some freedom in the invitation to journey.
Yeah. No, that's so, I love that. Like evangelization by tacos, right? And obviously it's not about the tacos, right? It's, as you mentioned, it's about the love and the, you know, building relationships with people. But you know, you mentioned that, young people, they really just want to be loved. And then, you know, when they feel safe, then that's when they start to open up. And I started kind of my priestly ministry in campus ministry. And I did that primarily, it's complicated, but I was doing a lot of campus ministry for about 7 years. And now I'm kind of shifting over where I'm more primarily the parish. And you know, and the kid, I always thought that like, oh yeah, this is campus ministry. This is because they're young people that, you know, they want to simply be loved and need to feel safe and all these different things. But as I've shifted more and more over into the parish, I'm realizing that this is not just a young people thing. This is a, right. This is a human being that we all function like this. And some of these basic things of, yeah, just genuinely loving people, is that first stage to building a healthy relationship so that you can, you know, preach that meaning of the gospel that you're talking about into them.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's so cool. All right. So after that first love by tacos, right? What else?
Love simply, love was in front of you. I also think that not just at Ablaze, but every baptized person needs to lean in to God's calling on their life. And that calling is not one, it's bigger than them. Like, I just want to say to everyone who's a disciple, if you can do things on your own, then you're not doing big enough things, right? And so there has to be a dependence on God in order to accomplish the work that he's calling us to. And the difference, the gap between your ability and the calling is grace. And grace is a gift that gets us there, right? And so we receive these graces at our baptism through our anointing as priest, prophet, and king. Now, obviously, it's the common priesthood. You don't go out and start hearing confessions. But priests in the Old Testament, they sacrificed and they stood in the Holy of Holies where other people can't. And so there's this advocacy. There's this willingness to lay down our life and our own desires for the good of the other, right? So that's priest. Prophetic, you proclaim, right? These lips. You know, a bishop I once met, he said, if you can curse, you can bless, right? So if your lips can do something bad, they can do something good. And so how are we proclaiming? And I think there's a boldness in proclamation that we have, as a Catholic Church generally, have failed yet to fully actualize, which actually means that coming up, if we can start actualizing it, we might be in the golden era of evangelization. Because there's such a great audience for evangelization with the rise of secularism. And so to preach, to put words, prophetic words, right? So Father George, I don't know you that well, right? But I can speak prophetically by saying that I know that God desires you to have a great day tomorrow, right? Now, that seems like, ooh, Chris is predicting the future. No, I don't know Father George that well, but I know God. And I know that God loves his children. And so I can speak prophetically into that. That's a very attractive and beautiful truth to proclaim, to be prophetic about. And it's not like here are the Powerball winning lotto numbers. You know, it's not, but like,
if you've got those, you can share those too, right?
Right. And last but not least is the anointing as king, priest, prophet, and king. That anointing is king. And again, if you want to go and kind of check my math, go to Lumen Gentium 31 and just kind of keep reading through that Vatican II document. And you'll get through all this.
Great stuff,
Yeah, but the anointing as king, like in the Old Testament, like if your dad was a king, you could go and have authority because your father was the king. So you have authority, but then you also have inheritance, right? So I want to go to heaven. Well, actually, heaven is my inheritance because God is my father. And so there's this boldness or this confidence that should come when we evangelize, when we do outreach, and it needs to go beyond the parish, but within the parish boundaries, right? So often people think mission is let's go to a foreign country. No. Mission is the people that you probably don't see on Sundays, but you probably see the rest of the week. Those are the people within your parish boundaries, that plot of land that you're called to serve. So,
yeah. Go to the lost children of Israel, right? This was Christ's command to the apostles of like, no, hey, there are plenty of people nearby.
Next door.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, that's good. So, kind of lean into your calling, but also God's grace and his ability and kind of what he's brought you to do specifically as priest, prophet, and king. Good. Yeah. What else? Is there anything else that you guys really think of as just mentality shifters on this evangelization?
Yeah. One shift is that we have a God of abundance, not a God of scarcity. So often when people are operating and even in ministry and things like that, I was a part of a ministry that was like, no, we can't welcome any more people in. Because we've already got enough volunteers, but just enough volunteers, and there's this lack of resources. And I was just blown away, because that's not the God that I worship, right? My God is a God of abundance, to where if God brought 20 more people to the ministry, he'd bring two more volunteers along with him. Like, I just, when God's will, God's bill, you know what I mean? He pays the price and then some, even for our sins, you know what I mean? And so there's something about it. And so when we move into that mentality, that it's like, we have a God of abundance, not a God of scarcity, we can all of a sudden start to pray in bolder ways, start to share in bolder ways. And I think that's a evangelical shift in your mind.
That's good. So to make this super concrete, you know, if you were to talk to, you know, three of the individual people listening to this podcast right now, can you give like, I mean, I don't know, just, hey, take this step, you know, for different people at different levels, in their development, in the life of evangelization, you know, like, what are some just super concrete things? We talked about these mentality shifts, but how do we do it?
Yeah. My favorite one in regards to kind of evangelization is to start the day asking for a divine appointment. Have you heard of a divine appointment before?
Yeah. What does that mean? So, go ahead and explain.
Yeah. That. So it'd be like waking up in the morning and doing your prayers and saying, Lord, who do you want me to bless today? Who do you want me to love today? And please put someone in my path that I can share your love with and highlight them. Help me to know that this is the person that I'm supposed to make extra effort to share your love with, right? And it could be something as simple as, you know, taking an extra few minutes at the grocery store to talk with someone, although many people order their groceries now. So I think that, you know, that's a different story. But in some normal piece, it could be when you're walking to get the mail or something like that, to spend some more time with a neighbor. It could be something as bold as God puts someone on your heart and you're like, oh my gosh, we haven't talked in 10 years. Because we fought over something petty. I need to give them a call and reconcile. You know what I mean? But to ask for a divine appointment, God wants to be a part of every moment of your day. Ask him to make you present to the moment as well.
That's excellent. Good. What else? What else comes to mind of just like good, simple, concrete things?
Yeah. Another concrete thing, I tend to drink the bitter pill every now and then. And you're at church or you're at an event and you're like, oh, if they only did this, maybe that is actually a holy hunger. So to start questioning your frustrations and turn them into like callings, like maybe I'm dissatisfied here, not because I'm just a grumble cake, but actually because there's a holy hunger in me. And that dissatisfaction is what's going to propel me into mission, whatever that mission is. Oh, you know, we need this in the church or we need that over here. And it's like, maybe you're the one that's supposed to bring that to fruition. Last but not least, I would say that there needs to be the joy of the gospel, right? Mm-hmm. And the joy of the gospel makes, and this is so important to clarify, makes the Ten Commandments irrelevant, mm-hmm. because you're ruled by love before you need rules to do that. But so often when we lead with the Ten Commandments or we lead with kind of the rules of the church, so to speak, it almost feels like it's limiting or it's behavior modification. But God is about transformation, not behavior modification. And so to be able to get into that mentality, joy is such a great conduit to bring about the fullness of truth, as opposed to you shouldn't be doing that, or you didn't genuflect deep enough, or you wore your baseball cleats to mass because you came straight from a tournament and I'm going to judge you. It's like, just be joyful that they're here. Just be joyful that you have the opportunity to share God's love.
I love that. That's excellent. Good. So Chris, if people want to find more about what you're doing about Ablaze, where should they go?
Yeah. Check us out. Ablaze.us, Ablaze.us. And then if you want to send me fan mail or hate mail, you can go ahead and reach me at Chris@Ablaze.us, Chris@Ablaze.us.
Excellent. This has been the Catholic Link Podcast, the podcast for busy Catholics. I've been joined by Chris Bartlett. I'm Father George Elliott. If you'd like to find more great Catholic content, check out catholic-link.org. Thanks for joining and God bless.